Hello, and welcome to Sorry Murders Podcast again. On the eve of, we're nearing the eve of a brand new chapter of the most popular superhero of all time, Spider-Man. It's nuts to think that it's going to be, what, the ninth film of his in the last 19 years? That's discouraging, and that, yeah, that's not including all the animated shows,
TV series, and
yeah, it's brilliant. First, before we go into it, if you want to follow us on social media, we're on the social media. Sorry Meadows, easy to find. Thank you for the theme music to Spike Kappa. And just to tell you who I'm joined by. Firstly, he's consistently working hard. He has a craving for pizza and is always crying. Welcome, Mike. Oh.
What?
I'm describing you as Toby.
Interesting.
Mike always crying.
I'm describing you as Toby Maguire's Spider-Man, because also he looks way too cool to be a nerd, and his blood turns people into supervillains. It's Sammy.
Woo!
That's what Andrew Garfield does.
I'm completely fine being cast as Andrew Garfield because
I'm completely fine being cast as guy who likes pizza.
And that is the Lego loving teenager. Who loves European holidays and relies so much on rich dead guys to get my gadgets. Obviously. anyway.
I was going to argue with you on that, but I'm like, nah, these are all pretty fair enough.
So the way we're going to do this is that we're going to rank all the Spider-Man films, but not rank them conventionally. Well, if you don't interrupt me, Jimmy.
Sorry.
We're going to rank all the Spider-Man films. But not in the way that people think. our favourite app on the internet is something called Preference Revealer. And what we're going to do, you pitch two films together over and over again, and eventually, like, a ranking comes out. And so we're going to see how that works. But before we get into that, and before we talk about the vigilante, the public menace, the criminal, and the burglar, and before we rank all those films, I just want to ask you both, I'll start with Mike. Mike, what's your relationship with Spider-Man?
I love Spider-Man. Spoilers for a future favorite character roulette, but Spider-Man's my number one favorite fictional character of all time. I just love him. I don't think there's anyone quite like him. I think Peter Parker is great alone. Then you get the Spider-Man, he's like funny, and he's like, you can get action with him like you can't get with anyone else. I think he's got such a fantastic set of villains. And I've loved him just ever since I was a kid. I absolutely love Spider-Man. And I'm so glad that we've got so many different Spider-Man films with so many different Spider-Man actors. So I sort of, each of these films is very special to me, even the ones I have at the bottom of my list. And I don't think there's a single one of these that where I think the negatives outweigh the positives. I just love all of them. I love Spider-Man.
Maybe one of them. So what you're saying is what?
Well, no, because we're not including the
what you're
Venom
saying is
films.
That you love the trilogy from the 80s, is what you're trying to tell me. Dragon Challenge is your favorite, and
no, because they're objectively not Spider-Man. The fact there's one episode of that show where he doesn't put the costume on once, and it's just he's at a party in a apartment like block and some terrorist attack, and Peter Parker is there while terrorist attack, but he'd never dress as Spider-Man, proves that is not a Spider-Man
clearly
show.
Ripping off Die Hard.
But I will accept Japanese Spider-Man as a Spider-Man show.
Okay, as bad as that series is, right, I still think that Nicholas Hammond is all right as Peter Parker. I'll defend Nicholas Hammond in that show.
Yeah, he's not a bad Peter Parker.
Anyway,
but
Sammy, what's your relationship with Spider-Man?
Likewise to Mike, he's not my number one favorite fictional character of all time, but he is in my top 10. He's just fantastic, and I love him for the same reasons, and I love the idea that anyone can be Spider-Man. I love that he's just a normal guy. The, as Mike was saying, like the action and stuff that we get with Spider-Man is just so unique to him. He has, I think, the second best rogues gallery in comics behind Batman. But that's just because I'm a bit more Batman-leaning anyway. I love the different reimaginings we've had of him over the years in, like, all sorts of media. I just, it's just fantastic, isn't it? It's just, I love it.
What would you say that you?
I love that most of his rogues gallery are just angry middle-aged men.
Who are pissed off they got caught robbing a bank. As if it's their fault for. As if it's not their fault for robbing stuff in the first place. So what do you guys look for in a Spider-Man film? Like what are your go what are the stuff you watch and go, yeah,
Good
I'm
Peter
happy I've
Parker
seen that.
story. Good Peter Parker story. Good Spider-Man story. Because it's about the balance of both. It's not one or the other.
Good action. Good side characters. Because Spider-Man thinks very much about his side
And
characters.
villains, of course.
I want it to look good. Because there's one film on this list that now kind of looks awful. But well, compared to some of the films that look incredible, I want to have Spider-Man in them is a very important aspect of what makes a good Spider-Man film. Sony naming a cinematic universe after Spider-Man and not having him show up
And
is a
calling
bad
it
idea.
Spunk is a worse
Oh my
idea.
God. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my criteria then. You've basically put my criteria for what we'll talk about today. So in each of the films, we'll try and talk about the Peter Parker story, the Spider-Man story, the action, the side characters and villains, how it looks, and whether it has Spider-Man in them or not. I think all ours do. I must emphasize that I was very clear that we're doing Spider-Man films, not films that happen to have Spider-Man in them or have reference to Spider-Man. So no Venom 2, no Venom, no Infinity War, Endgame, Civil War. Although Spider-Man is in them, however, I will be accepting the Dragon's Challenge. I might slip that in later, unless unless somebody here strongly doesn't want to talk about the original Spider-Man 3. Anyway, so the first matchup.
Well, because they're not films. They're episodes of a TV show.
They were TV movies, Mike.
So, what is the first?
The Dragon Challenge is awful, but
What is the first matchup, Reese?
the first matchup is. Oh, this has been a long anticipated one. I know that this might be quite a divisive start. Spider-Man Far From Home and the amazing Spider-Man 2.
Clear winner for me.
One of these
Well, hang on. No, no, no.
gets
We're having some structure
way too
here.
much hate.
We're having structure here. So, should we start with Far From Home?
Oh, do we have to?
Sure. We can start with Far From
Well,
Home.
we've spoken about Spar Hom From.
Bad. Smash, 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 smash.
It's Spider-Man Spar From Foam. Spider-Han. So, general thoughts, Mike. We'll get to Sammy in a second.
I really like it. I think, again, excellent action. I think the comedy really works. I like it as just a Peter Parker road trip comedy, but he has to keep sneaking off to be Spider-Man. I think it's a great use of the Spider-Man side cast because they're all in it a lot and they all get like moments to shine. I think Mysterio, I think, is an excellent villain. And I think it's another one where people complain a lot about the Tom Holland films, where they're like, oh, why is that Iron Boy Jr.? I think it's another one where they do a very good job of going, no, Spider-Man works on his own. Like, I really like it. It's a very good film.
He's gone.
Sammy, why do you hate Far From Home?
I was gonna say that I don't hate it, and then
But you clearly do. You have zero pop.
Every time I watch it, I like it less and less. I think for me, Jake Gyllenhaal kind of saves this film. I think Mysterio has a really cool design. I really like his plan mostly, but I hate the pretty much the rest of this film. I think the Peter Parker stuff just doesn't really work for me. I think the side characters all lean into the annoying side of like that charming, annoying horseshoe. I just.
What? Sorry,
Yes, the
sorry,
classic charming, annoying horseshoe trope of
what?
cinema.
What is that?
It's so it's sort of like. I'm trying to think how to best. I was always.
Would you describe Series 11 Doctor Who as charming but annoying?
No, I would describe
no,
it as
No, that's
annoying.
All on the annoying side of the horseshoe.
Okay, I'll scratch that. Charming I just, I think they fall more into the annoying side for me. I think, like, Brad is just such a non-entity character. MJ...
Yeah, but he's also barely in it.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be, like, Spider-Man's main romantic rival in this, and it's just sort of, like, weird. I hate the Ned and... whoever the
what?
Other girl is.
Betty? Rayo. No.
Betty? Yeah. No, I find that hilarious.
No.
I think it's such an excellent... Because Ned and Betty Leeds in the comics are, like, just the worst... Sorry. Yeah, Betty Brant. Not Betty Leeds. Betty Brant. Ned and Betty in the comics are just, like, the worst couple. I love that in this film they just turn them into an absolute joke.
Yeah.
I love it. That was very funny.
It just doesn't work for me. MJ is just... I don't really... She doesn't have much character for me.
I mean, she has more character than
Nick
she does
Fury,
in Homecoming.
I think hasn't been well utilized since. Yeah, but it's not much because she's like barely an element in Homecoming. I think the Nick Fury stuff is just eh. Like, I don't think he's been well utilized.
I really like the Nick Fury stuff.
I don't think he's been well utilized since Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because he faked his death like 5 times.
I think the plan is also kind of weird. And for me, the most impactful scene in that film is a post-credit scene. And that's just like, says a lot about the rest
of the
film.
No, you're not
going
to say this.
Sammy, we'll go back to this. I knew you were going to bring up the, like, you don't like that they did a reveal in a post-credit scene. But
that's not what I said. I said the most, if the most impactful thing I came out of that cinema was the post-credit
you've
scene.
You previously
that speaks,
said, anyway.
You definitely previously said it. If everyone else describes you,
and
right.
That
do you not
to the rest of the film, doesn't it?
Have an issue with them setting up the entire plot of the biggest movie of all time in a post-credit scene of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
What do you mean?
Because that's where Scott gets stuck in the quantum realm as the others get dusted, and then it's him being stuck in the quantum realm as the catalyst for the entire plot of Endgame, and that takes place in a post-credit scene. Do you have an issue with that? Or do you have an issue with introducing the Avengers in a post-credit scene? Because these are all massive things. Marvel have always like done massive things in post-credit scenes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that where that was the most impactful thing, that's what I came out of the cinema thinking about, not about most of the rest of the film. So like, if your post-credit scene is what I come away thinking about and not the actual film, then that speaks volumes, I think, as to what I feel about the film.
Isn't a post-credit scene naturally one of the things you're going to come away thinking most about, considering it's like the last thing you see?
To a degree, I see where you're coming from, but I came out of Eternals going, okay, there were some fun post-credit scenes, but also I have a lot of thoughts on the rest of the film.
Oh, really? Because I came out of Eternals, and heavy spoiler warning, so skip ahead 30 seconds if you want. I come out of Eternals going, what the hell? Was that Harry Styles?
Yeah, but that wasn't all you were thinking.
Yeah, it was also not. So you're saying you had no other thoughts coming out of Far From
Home?
I'm
saying that...
Other than I like that post-credit scene.
Its most impactful and memorable scene wasn't part of the actual film, I think is...
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it its most impactful or memorable scene, considering I think the action in it is amazing.
Okay.
But,
okay. Okay. We haven't even got on to the other film yet. we got like 7 others to speak about. Anyway, right. What I'm going to say is this. Peter Parker story... I think it's a fun little story. He wants to get away. He's not allowed to get away.
He
always dragged into shenanigans. Yeah,
that's not what it's about.
No, he doesn't want to be Spider-Man on holiday. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
He wants a holiday from being Spider-Man. He just saved the universe.
That's cool. And there are other. And we know there are other heroes around. If they want to fight, they want to fight stuff off. Go and speak to Thor or something.
Yeah.
Or go and speak to somebody else who's on the planet. So I'll give a tick for Peter Parker story. Spider-Man story, I'm not that interested in him trying to like hide it from MJ. And it's like when the reveal like, oh, it's obvious it was you.
And also the whole film is like people saying, no, it's okay not to, as you were saying, Mike, oh, Iron Boy. It's like the whole film saying, oh, when are you going to step up and be Iron Man? And that scene in the plane with Happy, where Happy's like, you don't need to be Iron Man, okay? You just need to be you. And then he immediately goes away, hits on AC/DC, and builds a suit out of Tony's suit maker. Like,
yeah,
yeah, that's You're literally emulating Iron Man.
But he doesn't save the day with the tech. He doesn't save the day with the tech. He saved the day with Spider-Sense.
Yeah, he does.
Spider-Sense is terrible in this film. It's mentioned once at the beginning and then comes into play at the end. It's not like
He uses it to defeat Mysterio.
It's also referenced. It's referenced a lot throughout the movie.
It's really not.
They mention it a lot of times.
Is like a recurring gag, like it was the funniest thing they ever thought of, and it's really not. I hate it anyway.
I like the action. I think the fight scenes are really cool. I think the bits in Venice are fun when he saves the tower. I really like the final battle where
good action.
He jumps up Tower Bridge. That's cool. Side characters.
No,
I think Ned and Betty are really funny together. They made me laugh quite a lot. And into that, I think Happy still having an involvement in the MCU is great with Spider-Man. And I like
Happy and Aunt May are very funny.
And the more I think about Mysterio, the more I'm like, I can give or take. But that scene where he does the hallucinations is a winner for me here. Yeah. I mean, that is an incredible scene. And
the scene where Mysterio does hallucinations, isn't that every action scene in this film?
You know what it means.
I think it's very clear which scene Reese is talking about.
The main one where he deceives him.
The big trippy visuals one with the big Iron Man skeleton.
And then he becomes Nick Fury and then runs him over with a train. Yeah. And the behind the scenes CGI for that, it's all entirely CGI. It looks amazing. I think that's a really great piece of CGI. Yeah. Does it have Spider-Man? Yes, it has Spider-Man.
It does have Spider-Man in it. Yeah. That's more than most of the spunk can say.
Right, let's talk about the other one because we're going to be here all day otherwise. Amazing Spider-Man 2. Well, I'm going to start with this one.
Yeah,
I'm going to start with this one because I know I'm the only person. I'm not really that fussed by this film. I think it has some good ideas into it, but I think it's hampered by the fact that we won't know how it ends. I think that Pete's dad stuff is the most interesting aspect for me, definitely. However, that's not going to be explored. I like the fact that you watch the opening scene and you go, this guy's not dead. And there is a deleted scene of him showing up at the graveyard at the end.
Which is fantastic.
And this is a problem I have with MJ and Peter for the other one. I literally cannot stand it when Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone are on screen together and they do that improv dialogue that is just so tedious and cringe and boring, and it's just like, end the scene, go back to punching things, please. I can't stand it. And then the whole climax of the film where she dies is completely overshadowed by an awful rushed redemption arc that just takes me out of the film completely, and I'm left there going, well, at least they literally had the end of he's stopped being Spider-Man, leave it there. And then if they were going to do the third film, pick it up from he becomes Spider-Man again. Anyway, I think the strongest thing from this film is the score. I think Hans Zimmer and the Magnificent Six absolutely nailed the music. But I'm just not interested in two of the plots. And the only one that I'm interested in that's a little bit interesting for me is never going to get resolved. So I'm not that fond of this film. And I know your reasons for liking the film. I'm not going to take them away from you, but it's just not for me.
I agree with you about the ending. I do think the ending is rushed, and I agree with you about they should have left it on him just stop being Spider-Man and then pick it up in a third film. However, I massively disagree with you about the rest of it, and I know Mike agrees.
Also, I do see where you're coming from about picking it up in a third film, but if they'd done that, what we would have been left with is a Spider-Man film where he quits being Spider-Man at the end of the film, and then that's it.
Good.
Because we never got the third film.
That makes sense. Because he ends the first film promising the dying father of Gwen Stacy, I promise I won't be Spider-Man. He breaks that promise immediately. And in the next film, the daughter of the person he promises to not be Spider-Man gets killed. So there's consequences there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Because everyone knows that there would have been another one. So like that wouldn't have been the end of the story. It's just the end of what we got. So I would have been fine with that. But anyway, I think the action in this film is absolutely amazing. I really like the Peter Parker story in here. I really like his scenes with Gwen, but I really like his scenes with Harry as well. That scene where they're skimming stones is like one of the best moments of the film for me. I really buy their friendship.
Mikey,
what's your thoughts?
Really like this
what's
movie.
Your thoughts of the film?
This is my favorite Spider-Man movie for a very long time until we started getting more Spider-Man movies.
I thought you said this is my favorite Spider-Man movie. What?
No, not anymore. There's multiple above it now. I do think it's a bit messy. I think it's obvious that some stuff was cut out because I think the plot is a tiny bit messy. But I really love this. I think it's not a stretch to say this is the least popular Spider-Man movie. But I also think because of that, it's the most underrated Spider-Man movie. Easy. I think, as you said, Reese, the score is fantastic. I think it looks stunning. This is easy the best looking of all the Spider-Man movies. Almost every moment I'm sat there enjoying it. I think I really like two of the three villains. I really like Harry, and his arc through the movie has turned to Green Goblin at the end. And I like his just absolutely hideous Green Goblin design. Yeah. I really like Electro in this. I think he's great. Mm. I'm not a big fan of the Rhino. I don't like him very much, but I do like the scene at the end where like that kid goes up to fight and Spider-Man shows. He's like, "Don't worry, Spider-Man, I got it."
I like that scene, but that could have easily been like,
I think,
in a third one. Like, I don't.
Yeah, but we never got a third one. So
yeah, it's and it's Paul Giamatti.
Yeah,
it's Paul Giamatti.
I think Andrew Garfield is fantastic in this. He's so good. He does both like the really funny side of Spider-Man and the emotional side of Peter Parker very well. And I like that my favorite types of Spider-Man story are just the one where there is so much being thrown at Spider-Man that he just can't keep up with it and it makes him miserable. It's like the Spider-Man PS4 game did that. Like, they're just throwing literally everything at him and he just can't keep up, and you can just see how like overwhelmed he is the whole time. Mm. And this is the best Spider-Man film portraying that. I think it does a really good job, because the whole film, Spider-Man is like, now this? I disagree with you, Reese, about Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. I really like their chemistry. Yeah. I think they're great. I think the opening scene with him swinging around is great.
He also has had, I think his suit in this film might be my favourite live action suit that we've had for a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go one step further, I think, and say on this podcast that Andrew Garfield is my favourite live-action Spider-Man, which I know might be a shock to a lot of people.
I flip-flop between Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland, but I really like Andrew Garfield. I think he's very funny.
Yeah, I flip.
And I hope that when he 100% absolutely doesn't show up in No Way Home, that he's definitely not in. But, I hope that this is the suit that he has, because it's a really good suit.
Well, I flip-flop between Tom Holland and Nicholas Hammond, but, you know, that's just me.
Nicholas Hammond can't be your favourite Spider-Man. He's not Spider-Man.
I'm sorry, who plays Spider-Man? Fun fact, he plays one of the Von Trapp kids in The Sound of Music. But
what, Spider-Man?
No, Nicholas Hammond.
do you want to tick through?
Yeah, so, right. I'm going to ask us one by one, you one by one, and then if there's a decider, I'll pick. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be Len Goodman from Strictly. If there's a tie, it's my decision. So, Mike, Spider-Man Far From Home or The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
I think I'm going to go with Far From Home.
Okay.
As much as I love Amazing Spider-Man 2, I just really like Far From Home.
Cool. Sammy, I think I know what you're going to
go for. Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2, easily.
Yeah, I'm going to go Far From Home. I think it's easily the more fun film for me. I like the fact that, like, they go to Europe. Like, they're not just, you know, they try something different locations. And the actions for me is better. But yeah, I got to go with Far From Home. Ooh, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 will come back up. I'm sure you'll get to vote for it. Ooh, right. Yeah. Next one. The first one is Spider-Man 3.
Ugh.
And nice!
And Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm going to start with Spider-Man 3. Because the last time I watched it, I made 4 points that I really didn't like. I gave it half a star extra than I did the last time. But my four things I really hate are Peter and MJ's relationship.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
Right. The weakest thing. I think this is sort of like Cyclops in the X-Men films. It's just like, it's the overarching problem with all three of the stories. You can't just blame the one film for it. But, you know, in the first film, right, Peter Parker is literally leering at MJ through a window while she's changing. And then during Spider-Man 2, right, MJ constantly leads Peter on and then rejects him. And, you know, this really toxic relationship that gets established over the last those two films, I don't give a flying f*** when they struggle, because they are clearly a toxic and awful people. And then you've got the emo Parker stuff and that awful bit in the nightclub. You're just watching it and going, are these two people meant to love each other? Are these two people meant to forgive each other after? Yeah, and then you get Aunt May telling, just forgive yourself for what you did. No, stop it. Like, it's a really terrible relationship on screen. And I fucking hate that they end up together in the end. The next bit is the amnesia. Oh my God. The start of the film is not bad. But then James Franco gets amnesia. And he has to explain the entire plot of the last two films to him. And you're like, well, he clearly couldn't think of another reason. They didn't know what to do with Harry. They had to save him for the end. Sandman, not the weakest bit of it, but disappears and then comes back at the end. Not, and then he gets forgiven because he's got a child. And then, right, Venom and Eddie Brock. Venom I don't like because it's rushed. And it's clearly the bit that's tagged on. However, I think Eddie Brock is a little bit of a shining light in this film. I think Topher Grace is really good at him. As you're going to say, he literally goes to church to pray
that Spider-Man dies.
Yeah, and gets killed. And as a result of what Peter Parker does, he becomes Venom. I think he's my only shining light in this film. When what's his name? Harry and Peter grab hands at the end of the film. And they're like, they're in it together. That's it. This is a garbage film. It's shocking.
I don't hate Spider-Man 3. When I first saw it in cinemas, I wasn't a fan at all a long time ago. But parts of it have grown on me. I think I do not like Peter and MJ in this film, as you said. I think they're the weakest part of this whole trilogy. Garbage. Like, I think the Bully Maguire stuff has taken on a new life because of all the memes, and like, it is funny how bad it is, but in when you're watching the film, it's just bad. I think that the individual villain plots in this film I really like the Sandman stuff.
I love Sandman,
and I think there's some stunning scenes with him, like when he turns into Sandman and gets that scene in the pit. I really like the new Goblin stuff at the start and end, but God, that amnesia stuff is awful.
Yeah. And that's what's really annoying. It started off really well. And like when he gets attacked on the bike, like he gets flipped off the bike and he has to get the way.
Yeah, he gets flipped off the bike.
That's a great fight scene.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it.
And there's the Venom stuff is sort of mixed for me. I like Venom's story in the film. I think the black suit on Spider-Man looks incredible. It's like, it's a great suit design. I think that the actual plot of like once the suit's off him and he turns into Venom and stuff is all right. I just don't think that Topher Grace works as Venom for me. He's the better live-action version of Venom that we got, somehow. but, like, I think the issue for me isn't any of the individual plots. I think it's just that they don't balance them right at all. It's like, I'm watching them, and I'm like, we cut to another plot line. I'm like, yes, I enjoy this, but it feels like I'm watching a fourth different movie.
Mm.
But that final fight with all of them together, and like Harry and Peter deciding to work together, and like MJ in the big Venom web
again,
and like Peter versus Venom and Sandman's like emotional turn. I think that final fight is awesome. I think it's really good. So like there's stuff in this movie I like, but it's just the balance of all of it is so bad. Also, at this point in this franchise, where it's gone from the first two, Aliens, huge jump.
Yeah.
Like, what? a huge jump in logic.
A tagged on jump. I mean,
yeah, like, yeah, crazy. Especially with like how like down to earth science based the first two films were. To have the third film open on aliens is like so much. That would be like if Indiana Jones had aliens show up as a twist in a film.
Well, they're trans dimensional beings, Mike. Give them a break. All they want is knowledge. Knowledge was their power. Knowledge was their treasure. Anyway, this is not an Indiana Jones chat. Mr. Kappa.
I sort of just agree with a lot of what you guys have said. I think not just the Peter MJ romance, but also I don't like Gwen Stacy in this film.
I forgot she was in it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I knew you guys would say that. Yeah, it's just sort of sucky, and he's so clearly using her to just get back at MJ. Like, it's really, as you were saying, Rich, it's a real toxic relationship there. James Franco, the beginning and end stuff, I really like. And Sandman, I really like in this. I like the design of Venom when he doesn't have the face pulled back. But, like, he always pulled back the face, and it's so underwhelming.
And it reveals Topher Grace.
Topher Grace. Like, and it's, like, it's such that, a skinny Venom design as well. Topher like,
Grace. Yeah, like...
like, I'm used to Venom being, like, huge. And got this, like,
I don't mind the design of Venom. I just wish they kept the Venom face on him for the final, because you want to see him fight Venom, not Topher Grace.
Sorry. I'm just sat here quite excited, because I want to talk about Homecoming.
Yeah, that's fine. I also would rather talk about Homecoming.
First thing that happened, I read Homecoming, and I've started humming the theme. When he sneaks on, not that theme. The Homecoming theme.
It's a great theme, though.
When he runs away from school.
That plays over the Marvel logo in Homecoming, like the dramatic version of the 60s theme. I really like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yes. All right.
How good Spider-Man Homecoming? Spider-Man Homecoming is so good. Spider-Man Homecoming, the perfect example of when people are like, oh, Iron Boy Jr. can't win a fight without Tony. Literally, the third, like, the whole final third of this film, he doesn't have Tony's suit. He's just like
he's literally in sweatpants,
in his pajamas, and like, and he wins. This film is amazing. Like Vulture,
is
an incredible,
so good.
Like it again, it just great action, just like such a great like blend of like Peter Parker high school comedy with just Spider-Man being very overwhelmed. I love him like being very needy at this point, like just phoning Happy all the time.
and Happy not listening.
I think I've made this very clear in the past. I think Liz Allen is very boring.
Yeah.
I think like she's like she drags this movie down a lot for me about how much of the movie is Peter being like, oh Liz, but none of their scenes are interesting.
But the twist that her character provides,
that was
the
insane.
Yeah, that absolutely makes it. But yeah, I have very few bad words about this movie. I just think it's excellent.
In a franchise that's like has so many films that I really like, it's not often I literally went, we're watching an MCU film. Cause like, oh my god, and then he's in the limousine and he works out that Peter's Spider-Man. It's like, oh god, he's gonna kill him, isn't he? I said, you saved my daughter, so I'll give you one chance. And then he keeps on going back. He drops a building on him. Like, Peter Parker story. Yeah, I think it's the freshest take on Peter Parker we've ever had. You know, it skips the Uncle Ben stuff, and we actually get to see him in school doing Spider-Man stuff while being in school. The Spider-Man stuff. Yeah, hang on. Seeing Spider-Man in suburbia where he tries to use his webs to travel.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
The Ferris Bueller scene.
There's nothing for it to like latch onto.
Yeah, so he's just got a Ferris Bueller his way home.
It's really funny. The action,
I think the action's very good in this.
I mean, it's MCU. Yeah. The set pieces are excellent, and I think these are above average MCU set pieces as well.
Yeah,
the boat linking is great, followed by the really emotional Iron Man stuff telling him off. I think that the plane crash is great. Yeah, it's and even the. Okay, it's not my favourite one bits in the school, but yeah, I just think the fight scenes are good, and it's, we get a unique take on Spider-Man because of the way his suit works. Side characters, we've already spoke about Ned, really funny, and the villain man. Oh, sorry, the side character Iron Man. I mean, you say Iron Man Jr., but he really works in this film as a sort of
and he's not in it much. He gets like two or three scenes,
yeah,
and they're all like he's not like on Peter's side.
And he was using the trailer to tease people into flying past the camera.
But like, also this movie has like one of the absolute funniest jokes in any Spider-Man movie with, "Hey, do a flip!
Yay!
It's great."
That's the same guy in Shang-Chi who's filming the bus fight.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, it's also
don't make me come down there.
It's also got Donald Glover in it.
It does.
What? Yeah.
As Prowler. Just not yet.
Yeah. What did you think of the villain? Do you think the Vulture is the best villain we've had in a Spider-Man film?
I prefer Mysterio. Oh,
okay.
I know
Sammy likes these type of villains, don't you?
What do you mean?
Well, ones that are aggrieved by Iron Man, so are completely justified in their actions.
What? Where's this
absolutely
come from?
Absolutely screwed over. No, I know you don't like Mysterio because he got pissed off by Iron Man.
Yeah, I think Vulture and Mysterio are very similar in their motivations. Yeah. I just prefer Mysterio's action scenes and power set. Like, they're both so similar to me that like that's literally all it comes down to.
See,
but I won't fault either of them as villains. They're both like in my top five MCU villains. So.
Yeah, I think Vulture's an easy top five from anyone. I think he's got to be up there. And the fact that he's still kicking at the end of the film, obviously because Peter doesn't go around just like executing his enemies. Like, he's a character I'd love to see again, and I'm sure we will. Shut up, Mike.
Well, next time we see him, he's going to be butchered as a character because he's going to be in a film with a half-star script because it exists in the bloody spunk.
Anyway.
But yeah, I think his design is so genuinely scary. Like when Peter gets swiped.
Yeah.
And then he like looks up and it's just like the eyes piercing down at him.
Yeah.
I think he's just incredible.
There's a serious feeling of he's outgunned.
Oh, like, yeah.
Even with the Iron Man suit, like he hasn't got like the tenacity to be able to fight a villain of his caliber yet. And you need that tenacity in order to like play dirty a little bit. He's not willing to play dirty until the end. He has to crash a plane on him, to beat him.
And I think it's just the fact that it came by surprise as well. Because when like there was going to be a villain, we sort of knew what we were going to get and what types of scenes we were going to get. But like when they announced Vulture, I was like, oh, we're bringing Spider-Man into the MCU and we're going to use Vulture. Okay, I'm glad that you're not just doing Green Goblin again. Because you always do Green Goblin. But are we going to be able to carry a whole film with Vulture?
Fully, yes.
And then, like, we got
turns
this.
Out, yeah.
Like, turns out, yeah. Very easy. And you do get, like, little Spider-Man villains in there that probably couldn't carry a whole film. You get a bit of Tinkerer, a bit of Shocker, a setup for
Scorpion.
And it's very much a love letter to Spider-Man fans, this. And it's upsetting that so many people couldn't let go of Tobey Maguire enough to actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'll call those people out. Anyone who insults this, it's so Spider-Man to you. Where's your Uncle Ben? Let go of Tobey Maguire and enjoy your films. God, for sake.
I think, Reese, this is a pretty unanimous.
Yeah, we'll go for Homecoming then. Right, next one. Oh, this is going to be tasty.
Christ.
Another very.
No, it isn't. Cause...
Oh, is that because. No, oh, we're not a Spider-Man.
No, it's because they're both from. It's the first time they're both from the same franchise.
Oh.
Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2.
Oh, easy winner.
Oh. Oh,
it is an easy winner.
I honestly forgot these films existed. I thought we were going to go for Spider-Verse and Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, okay. We'll start with Spider-Man, okay? It's one of those films that...
It sucks.
But I think what it represents in superhero films is more important than how good it is as well.
Yeah, but we're judging it as a film, not as a landmark in cinema.
But, okay... Well, hang on. I can judge a film by its stature as well. I think it's a really important film. And I think if you think of superhero films, that's one that people tend to gravitate towards too. And it's a classic case. Like in lots of franchises, you just go, yeah, but the second's better. Of course it's better. We'll start with Sammy with Spider-Man then.
Oh.
I'm just not that keen on it. Like, not much of it works for me. I think the acting is all over the place. And I get that that's part of the charm. It's sort of like got that nostalgic feel for it and like stuff like that. But it just, the acting doesn't really work for me. Everyone is so clearly like way too old to be playing the parts that they've been cast as. The web coming out of his arm is really unsettling every time I realize it.
But Sammy, it's Spunk.
I think.
I love that people are always like, oh, Andrew and Thomas are so lame. They have to have web shooters to have webs, whereas the reason that he has organic webs in this film is because they just couldn't get the web shooter props to work.
Yeah.
And, like, I... Green Goblin is sort of... I'm really weird on him, because I love the performance Dafoe gives, but I hate the costume. It's so, like... I don't know, it's very of its time, and I get for some people that would be, like, nostalgic, and they'll love that, but for me, it just doesn't really work.
Yeah. What I'll say is this. Overall, I think it's bad. Mainly because I really don't like Tobey Maguire in this film. He feels really undercooked, and he's written as a stalker, as I said. He pervs on MJ. He always knows what MJ is wearing, watches her through a bedroom window, and then his clear domestic abuse towards her in her own household does nothing about it. I think New York, the sets look ridiculously fake, and I don't like the goblin design. But I will give it this one scene, and the Uncle Ben scene is fantastic. I'm not taking arguments for that. The build up to with great power and great responsibility, and then the effect that that has on the film. I think the film is elevated a little bit in that second half, simply after that action, because he's then paired with Dafoe, who is also bestowed with power, but one voluntarily does it and the other accidental, and then it highlights that they choose how to use that power differently. And I also like the fact that the citizens of New York fighting back. That's cool. That's always a good thing. You know, you mess with Spider-Man, you mess with New York. And of course, J.K. Simmons, who I think is
completely forgot
easily
about
the great, easily the greatest casting in any film ever.
Yeah.
Easily
spot on comic book casting ever. Like, whenever people go,
and he doesn't
like,
give up Peter Parker
Jackman,
to the Goblin.
Robert Downey Jr., but it's got to be J. Jonah Jameson. He's incredible
He doesn't give up Peter Parker to the Goblin. He doesn't tell Green Goblin
who
he is.
No, because he's not a bad guy.
So yeah,
no, he's just an arse.
He just doesn't like Spider-Man, which is fine.
I think he has one incredible scene that elevates the second half of the film. But man, does Spider-Man suck?
I will say, Mike... for me though, sorry, but just before Mike, I do really like his final fight with Goblin. Like where he gets absolutely demolished by Goblin. But yeah, that's a very small redeeming feature for me.
Nice catch.
I don't hate this film as much as you two seem to. I don't... This transcendental superhero masterpiece that for some reason people hold it up as. I think I like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, but I think his Peter Parker really flip-flops between awful and like just not great. Like some of his scenes are dreadful. Anytime him and Mary Jane are on screen together, this is just a dreadful movie. Like I don't like them at all. And it's nothing against Kirsten Dunst. It's all on the script. Mm. I think that his relationship with Harry is really weirdly done. So like, it's just a lot of the Peter Parker stuff in this doesn't land for me. But all the Spider-Man stuff in this, I really like. I love the way they handle his origin, his relationship with Uncle Ben, Uncle Ben's death, then the wrestling stuff. You get the Bruce Campbell.
The homophobic line.
Then you get like him fighting the burglar. Then you get like the action. All the actual Spider-Man stuff in it, I really like. I don't think the effects have aged very well, but
I failed to see
it was 20 years ago, like nearly. So obviously not. Like, I think that J. Jonah Jameson, we've already discussed, is just the most perfect casting in comic book movie history. He's incredible. I think there's a lot of the film that's just like, I just love how iconic some of the lines are. I think I have a very high tolerance for Sam Raimi's like camp directing style. I love it. I think it's something that he just pulls off really well. And I really love this Green Goblin. I think Willem Dafoe chews like every bit of scenery he can find. And that suit, it's not what I think of when I like try and picture Green Goblin. But God, I couldn't imagine without that suit. And I'm so glad it's the one that they're bringing back.
Yeah, but like, you say he's chewing scenery, and he does. But then a lot of that scenery is behind a mask.
Yeah,
why
like,
give the most
you get plenty of unmasked Willem Dafoe. And even when he has got the mask, you can still get lines. And I had to get this line up because it's a line I've always got to bring up when we talk about this film, because it's one of the most like It's one of like the parts of this movie where it perfectly tells the line between the best line of dialogue we've ever heard and the worst. And it's when Green Goblin is holding, he's got like the cable cart full of small children in one hand and Mary Jane in the other. And he delivers the line, "Spider-Man, this is why only fools are heroes, because you never know when some lunatic will come along with a sadistic choice, let die the woman you love or suffer the little children." Incredible.
Okay.
Line.
Spider-Man 2. Better?
Yes. Yes. I really like... I love Spider-Man 2. I think the Peter and MJ stuff is better here. I really like Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker in this film. There's just... I think the Doc Ock stuff is amazing. Yeah. Easy one of the best live action Spider-Man things. I can see why he's done a lot of the No Way Home marketing. Not saying anything about the second trailer because you haven't seen it, Sammy. But clearly a lot of the No Way Home marketing is very much like he's the one who's back. I think you get that fantastic like horror scene when his arms come alive in the thing. I love Harry in this movie with him like him on like his anti Spider-Man mode.
And trying to like I think this is dad by like making these good investments that just do not come through at all.
Yeah, do not work.
Nobel Prize.
the action in this is fantastic. Yes. And it took a long time for a Spider-Man film to top the train scene in this.
It's not just that it's the train scene though. It's a really long scene, isn't it?
Yeah. It goes on forever. And you get that really powerful scene after that's even though the "he's just a kid and older than my son" line obviously doesn't work. I think the line afterwards is like New York, like Spider-Man is excellent. It's got Joel McHale in it at one point and he gets kicked by Aunt May.
Yeah.
That's delightful. I only have one complaint with this movie, and I think it's that the him losing his powers subplot doesn't really come together for me. It's just an excuse to not have Spider-Man in the film for a bit. And I hate the trend where superhero sequels so often need to just go, "oh, what if our superhero didn't have his powers for ages?" This, Wonder Woman 84, Venom 2, even though this is a much better film than both of them. But like, it's just something that superhero sequels do really often where they just take the hero's powers away for like 20 minutes. So like, I mean, I don't want to watch a film without the superhero in it. I've come to see Spider-Man 2. Give me Spider-Man.
Yeah, but...
But like, it's a very short... It works. Very short section of the film,
but
and it
works.
Doesn't...
I think it...
Because, I suppose because, I just... No, it, never, walks, it never landed.
Because he... When he does finally go back to doing it and he saves the girl in the building, he's then informed that there was somebody else in the building. And so him not being there as Spider-Man costs someone's life. And there's bits where he ignores crime going on and you see and you see consequences. Yeah, he doesn't understand like how important him being Spider-Man is. It's not fair on him, I grant you that. It's not fair on him that he has to do it. But I think, I do find the guilt of him... of him not doing
I get what they're going for, and I'm not going to say it doesn't work. It's just that the way it plays out in the movie just isn't particularly entertaining for me. Like, I just want to get back to the Spider-Man and Doc Ock stuff.
But
this is a fantastic movie. A lot of people call this like the greatest superhero movie of all time, and I wouldn't go that far, but I can see why because it is genuinely excellent.
Yeah, I think that the set pieces are excellent, particularly when you see how many practical effects are in there. Yeah, the forearms. I mean, the stuff behind that is great. My flaw in the film is Octavius. I find that his motivations as a villain are muddled. I don't quite understand what his plan is.
In the palm of his hand.
He just wants to finish his experiment.
But he's under the control
this
of the arms.
This genius scientist who sets up a public display of his untested sun technology, and the only safety he gives anyone is that he puts goggles on himself.
And then J. Jonah Jameson, who has the laugh, which is the best scene in the entire film, and my favourite line, which is, "Sir, your wife has lost the checkbook. Thanks for the good news."
I really like though when he realizes that Spider-Man's given up, he sort of like starts taking it back. It's like, oh, maybe we did actually. Oh my god, he stole his suit back. He's a menace, I tell you.
There's also that fantastic deleted scene where he's wearing the suit, like whipping around his desk,
and there's a Doctor Strange. There's a Doctor Strange name.
Yeah, there's a Doctor Strange reference.
Oh, I wonder what. Yeah. I wonder if that'll get brought back in the next film. So, are we?
And let's not forget, this movie created one of the greatest superhero memes of all time, because it's got pizza time.
Pizza time.
Hey! He stole that guy's pizza!
Right, Spider-Man 2.
It's also funny. We're all agreeing. It's like Spider-Man funny 2. When it's trying to be funny. Unlike the first one, which I think is just funny from Sam Raimi being nuts.
Yeah.
Yes, great film. So I'd say that was the unanimous.
Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, unanimous. Okay. Spider-Man
2. Oh, and the last two films we're going to talk about then in detail, I guess, are... okay, I'll start with The Amazing Spider-Man. Because we'll talk about... And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I think should be called Spider-Men Into the Spider-Verse. Now...
Oh, they're not all men.
No, what I will say is that I never saw Amazing Spider-Man in cinema.
Me neither.
I just didn't.
I saw it three times.
I wasn't that bothered by. I was going through a phase of like trying to get away from comic book.
Not being bothered. Well, no,
basically there was it was Avengers mania, and basically anything that was an MCU I didn't watch at that age because, I mean, the only thing I rarely got to go to the cinema as a kid. And so I always went for the big stuff. And Amazing Spider-Man wasn't interested because it hadn't been that long since Spider-Man 3 came out. I'd never really sat down and watched it from start to finish. It's another one of those films where it was on like ITV or Channel 4 or Film 4.
It was always on.
And like, yeah, the adverts came on and I'm like, well, I've lost interest. So I've either watched the start of it or watched the end of it, but never together. But I watched it last March. And I was blown away this much. I was blown away by just how great it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really good.
I was surprised because it's not really talked about that much, this film. It really isn't.
No, it's because people like ignore it so that they can go, Amazing Spider-Man 2 sucks. And then you bring this up and they're like, yeah. But
yeah, and I think the Uncle Ben stuff's handled well. I know it's a retelling of the film we saw already, but I think it does really well.
Yeah, but it does it does a good job of not doing exactly the same origin again.
I thought that Parker's characterization straight off the bat is great. It's not the fact that he's just smart, like maths, facts sort of way, but he's a problem solver as well. You know, like Steve Rogers, he sticks up for the little guy before his powers. And so, when he shows off, it feels natural. And when Flash beats him up to get his revenge,
also, he's
fine.
A Spider-Man who...
Emma Stone is such a step up. Gwen Stacy is such a step up from MJ in this. And then the villain is great. Collins doesn't really start becoming the Lizard until about like an hour in.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he injects himself, it's just like he jumps straight to... he just jumps straight to eugenics.
I literally only have one complaint about the Lizard.
And
I think
he's no snout.
Give him a snout!
Yeah. Jesus Christ, you know, it's like my one complaint with the film.
I think it triggered a little nostalgia in me because did you play the original Spider-Man PS1 game?
No.
Yeah.
The first one. The first level on that is you fight Lizard in the sewers. And I was like, oh my God. That's the first thing he's doing. But... And then he utilizes all his webs in the sewers. You know, he uses them as trackers. Oh, and then there's fight in the school. Stan Lee cameo.
Spider-Man properly fights like a spider in that scene as well. Like, he's crawling all over him, like webbing around.
And then,
I'm with you, Reese. I love this film. And I really don't think people talk about it enough. Once Andrew Garfield's definitely not 100% definitely not coming back in No Way Home, I think people are going to go back and reevaluate this after he definitely doesn't come back.
Yeah, it's a great film.
But like,
great.
Because there's a lot really good about it. Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy are fantastic together. Yep. I think Lizard is an amazing villain, and the build up to him becoming Lizard and then following on to like him actually being the Lizard is excellent. The action is all really good, and like it's proper like fist pumping action stuff, like the bridge scene, him saving the kid, the cranes with all New York coming together to help him with saving New York, which is a fantastic piece of music.
And
the final fight up on Oscorp Tower it's all sort of falling down.
It has my favourite line in any of these films, which is, poor Peter Parker, no father, no mother, no uncle, you're all alone. And then you got Jack Stacy, he's not alone. Like, yes, come on!
Yeah. My favourite scene in this is where Peter's like webbing up the car thief. He's like, oh no, my weakness, small knives.
Small knives. I love that scene of him catching the car thief.
He keeps webbing him up and he's just like, that's such a fun scene for me.
This is what I don't get. People, when this came out, calling it the Dark Knight. version of Spider-Man. Everyone's like, oh, not everything needs a dark, gritty reboot. Why don't you turn Spider-Man dark and gritty? This is way less dark and gritty than Tobey Maguire's trilogy. Like, it's such a, like, fun romp. Like, Spider-Man's funny all the time in it. And it's just because Andrew Garfield is so good. He nails the Peter Parker slash Spider-Man side of it. And people say he's too cool to Peter Parker. And I don't like skateboarding, like, stuff. But what I really like about this Peter Parker that Tobey Maguire's never had is he's, like, it's like you said, Reese, he's smart and he's a problem saver. Like, he makes his own gadgets and you see him doing, like, the trial and error to put it all together and, like, making his suit and stuff. And it's like, that's what Spider-Man is to me. He's like, this nerd who's building his stuff. Like, Tobey Maguire just looks into it all.
Back slightly to what you were saying about you, where you're not really liking the skateboarding side and stuff of that. Like, I kind of see where you're coming from, but for me, he's still the social outcast in school. He's not, like, part of
I don't hate it. I just, like...
So it still works for me. It still... It doesn't break anything fundamental about the character that I like. You know, what he skateboards places as opposed to walking. Like, what's wrong with that?
I think it's, like... I just thought they were, like... I thought there was too much of an attempt to make Peter Parker cool and a nerdy outcast.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I
like,
didn't
it
like
doesn't
that.
Break it for me. I still really like it.
Let's be honest though. When you look at the Spider-Man, maybe not Spectacular Spider-Man because he's still in high school, but when he does eventually get into like college and he becomes Spider-Man like full time, you know, and with MJ and he's a grown-up in the original, well, in the Spider-Man animated show, it's like he's very nerdy and he's got all these. He's into science and maths and stuff, but he's not a complete loser. Like.
No,
yeah,
and like, I'm not saying it ruins it.
He becomes
saying like I think it could have been toned down just a little.
When he becomes Spider-Man, he becomes a big buff man. Like he's like Clark. It's like Clark Kent. It's like he puts on a nerd, but he's built, so you know he's not like that really.
Also, is there any better pairing in cinema history than having someone called Mark Webb make a Spider-Man film?
Yeah,
fantastic. And I actually feel bad for how this film's landed on the preference revealer,
because
it's clear we all like it, and it's a shame what it's come up against.
Not only is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse my favourite Spider-Man film, it's also, I'm happy to say that it's my second favourite film of all time.
It's one of my favourite films of all time.
Only one of my favourite films of all time, I think.
I remember seeing the first trailer, which came out just about a year before. And it was literally just Miles Morales jumping off the building to what's the name of the person who sings the song? I've forgotten. And it's like, this is gonna be the best film ever. Look at it, just look at it.
Gorgeous.
I'm gonna let you guys speak about it because, or I'm not gonna say anything bad about it. I have nothing bad to say about it, and I don't think any of us do. I've just got too much good to say about it just to let me speak. So I'm just going to
You go first, Sammy.
Just Nicolas Cage's lines in this. Everywhere I go, the wind follows and the wind smells like rain. It's like incredible.
I lit a match and let it burn down to my fingers just so I could feel something.
Anything. just what... I think the fundamental message of this, I think, is fantastic. That anyone can be Spider-Man. And... Oh, I'm just going to start gushing over it. And I know you guys didn't want to... You passed over to me so that we wouldn't get to this, but I'm going to gush over it.
Well, whichever one of us started was just going to do it. So,
not only are the characterizations of Peter B. Parker, Peter P. Parker, and...
Peter A. Parker.
Peter A. Parker.
It's Peter A. Parker and Peter B. Parker.
That's amazing. I think they're really well established, and I think they're all... I know later on when we get, like, Spider-Man Noir... and Spider-Ham and the rest of them, they're obviously very visually different, but making the distinction between the two Peter Parker Spider-Men, I think is very important, and it's nice to sort of see have one like in their greatest timeline until they obviously get smashed up by Kingpin, and then one in their darkest timeline where everything's just sort of...
And I love that the darkest timeline one is like so clearly like saying, this is Tobey Maguire.
I think all of the heroes work in this, they're all characterized very well, they'll get moments to shine, unique action, like Spider-Ham gets to pull out the mallet in like true cartoony fashion and say that's all, folks.
Well, I think what works about the characterization of the heroes in it is that they don't try and have six Spider-Men and make it a film about all six. They have, very clearly, there are three who are getting all the character. There's Peter B. Parker, there's Miles, and there's Gwen.
Yeah.
And so these are the three that are the focus of the story.
And even Gwen's,
and then we've got the three fun ones to just add a bit of flavor to it. Because, like, this is... it's a very, like, emotional movie, and there is some dark stuff in it, but it's also really funny. I think that's what the other three add, is, like, they bring a lot of the humor. They bring a lot of the humor to it, while, like, our main three are, like, they get a lot of the emotion. Because Peter B. Parker, like, he's a very sad character.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone very wrong for him.
Miles, and I think
you said it,
like,
you best yourself. They nail the characterization in it. Like, and especially those main three. Like,
yeah.
Because like, Spider-Gwen in the comics was always, like, a very, like, I don't think she was ever as fleshed out as an idea as she probably should have been. But then, like, she shows up in this and she's incredible.
Yeah, I also think...
because she's Hailee Steinfeld.
And Daniela Melchior in Portuguese
dub. I also
dub.
Think
just...
this film, as you were saying earlier, Reese, when you just sort of, like, chuck a load of villains together, it kind of just works. The roster on this film is amazing. Yeah. And for the same reason as Mike was just saying, where you clearly have, like, two or three main villains, and that's chiefly being Kingpin, Dr. Octopus, and
Prowler,
who has an incredible
Kingpin
theme.
Is so built in this.
Then you have the rest of them there just to, like, flesh out. So you have, like, Scorpion and Tombstone and a bunch of others I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, and then Green Goblin.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Green Goblin.
Green Goblin's in this. He kills Spider-Man.
No,
yeah, but,
Kingpin
and then he
dies.
Spider-Man.
Oh, no, sorry, yeah. But it's after Friday,
no,
isn't
Green
he?
Green Goblin dies,
sorry, yeah,
he?
But yeah, Kingpin kills him.
He gets died because he gets died.
Dies at the start,
he
yeah.
Gets died.
He gets killed by the generator at the start. It's okay, I know I was going to say much, but I am, because I'm struggling to hold back here.
Go on.
It's... and I've said this to you guys before. This thing about our... somebody's favorite film, and I think this is the distinction between, like, what you think is great and what, like, absolute favorites, is that every time I watch this film, it's a different film, there is something different in it, or I get a different response to it emotionally, or I spot something that I hadn't before. I find a new favorite theme that comes out of it, whether the theme is tragedy or reflection or you know, stuff happens, fate, all that. I miss, like, character motivations. Like, every time I see the Kingpin, I seem, because he's in it in and out quite a bit. You focus on scenes more when you rewatch it, and it's just like there are little details to which reference to him in the comics, and how and like little nods to when people say Vanessa or his son's name earlier in the film. Yeah, Vanessa. You know, a new favourite line, the background reference, it's just full of them. You know, you just look around the screen, you go, oh my God. The stuff like the different characters have different frame rates. You know, just little stuff like that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, like, and then, everyone, like, looks like they're from their universe.
But and it's just like, it felt like reading a book. Like, I could put chapters, I could, like, distinct, cut it up into different chapters, and like, yeah, this chapter's great, all six chapters are perfect, you know. Yeah. Like, you can document,
but also, like,
film as you go along. And Miles Morales,
it's not just like breaking it down to six chapters, and, like, every single frame of the movie is the most detailed thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, and the most, like, impressive thing, yes, you've got all this stuff with the multiverse and the different Spider-Man and all them coming in and the villains, but Miles Morales has always had this reputation of, oh, he's just Black Peter Parker, yeah. That's literally what people say. Oh, it's a way of, you know, token gesture. It's a way of making it more diverse for the sake of it. No, he's his own character.
Yeah,
and
he's always been amazing.
Yes,
like,
his origin is linked with Peter Parker, but it's still his unique origin, and
yeah,
everything that character is defined by who he is.
He was a character who, like, day one, he was introduced in the comics. He was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Because Marvel did go through, like, there was a time when they took, like, a lot of their heroes and they introduced a new version. And some of them, a lot of them worked really well. Kate Bishop, Ms. Marvel, obviously. Miles, the best example of all of them, probably. And he became one of my favorite superheroes straight away when he was introduced. And for his first, like, 5 years that he was around, I read everything they published with him because he was just so captivating. And I always wondered, like, how do you bring him to a film? Because, like, because obviously, you know, you can't get as many films as you can get comic book issues. So, like, will people accept if, like, all of a sudden there's a film we're just not getting Peter Parker? And this is, like, the perfect way to bring him to film. Is like, he's Peter Parker's still here, Parker, but it's this is not Peter Parker's film. This is Miles' film. He's the main character.
And also,
and his journey is fantastic. Up to him, like, getting his own costume at the end.
I wasn't prepared for Spider-Man to die when I first saw it.
Yeah, I was really shocked. Such a shock.
And it's so sad that Spider-Man is dead. And then Uncle Aaron dies as well. It's so horrible. It's the twist on the Uncle Ben, isn't it? And it's even more tragic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, I've let you down. Oh, it's so... I love this film.
But around all that tragedy, the film's still hilarious and a fun romp. And looks stunning.
Also, sounds stunning in both sound design, but also the original music and the songs and score.
Is it Wiz Khalifa? Is that his name? Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa.
Is that his name?
Don't know off the
top
of my head.
Wiz Khalifa. Yes, that's his name.
Also, this is that rare example of a live-action movie. Well, I think you could take...
It's not a live-action movie.
No. You're right. That's why it's such a rare example of...
This is a rare example of a live-action movie where it's all animated.
Yeah. It's one of those rare examples of an animated movie where I think you could take this movie and convert it into live-action. Not that I'd want them to, because it's stunning, but you could keep the same cast for every single member of this cast, and it would still work.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them. Mike, it would still, like, fit perfectly.
You just want a live-action Hailee Steinfeld... Gwen Stacy to interact with a live action Kate Bishop, and then for the hell of it, set it in the universe of Edge of 17, and have Bumblebee.
That's not what I said.
Have Bumblebee show up at the same
time. I may have thought it, and it may be true, but I never said it.
Right. Okay. We've got plenty of time to speak about these again, because the preference revealer says we're 25% through. So.
Well, yeah, but
obviously we've done the full discussion. So, it's just like from here. It's just. Again, it's unanimous.
But there might be a few... This is where it might get fiery. Okay, so the next
one... We've been unanimous on a lot of these, so we haven't argued enough yet.
I think that ends now. Right, okay, so...
But is this I just feel so bad for Amazing Spider-Man. It's so good, but like it just can't beat Spider-Verse. It just can't beat it.
It'll be up there. I'll make sure of that.
Okay.
Right, Spider-Verse or Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Verse.
Again, like... Everything we said positive about Spider-Man 2 still applies, but, like, it's Spider-Verse. Like, come on.
Yeah. Homecoming or Far From Home?
Homecoming.
I'm
on the side of Homecoming.
My vote goes to Far From Home. I think I love them both. I just think that I find the comedy Peter Parker story more fun in Far From Home. I find the emotional Peter Parker story more emotional.
Yeah.
And I like the villain and the action more. I disagree with all those points. Each of the ingredients
just where I'm like,
are like,
I think all the individual components have just worked better in
Homecoming
for me.
Each of the individual ingredients, I love them all in both. I just think like they mixed them for like a few seconds longer in Far From Home, and it really brought out the spice.
I find Homecoming more rewatchable. I think it has some really good core elements that even on rewatches that I get shocked by, or I'm still emotionally affected by more.
I think also another place that I just like Far From Home a bit more is that I just really like Zendaya, and I like that you get more of her being a proper character in Far From Home.
But also,
it gets my vote. I'm happy for Homecoming to move on. It's a film I love. Far From Home gets my vote.
I know I said Far From Home has a lot of European like locations and stuff, but Homecoming really does well with locations as well. As I said, suburbia, the traveling in the truck, the fact that he goes to Washington and climbs the George Washington Monument. Like, what a great set piece with the... He's scared of heights. Like, I'm going to go for Homecoming. I think Homecoming tops it there. Spider-Verse versus Homecoming.
Spider-Verse.
I got to go for Spider-Verse. It's not even fair, is it? Right, okay.
No, it's not. It's just that there's so many, like, amazing movies that we've discussed today. And Spider-Verse is just, like... It's unfair on all of them to put them next to Spider-Verse because it's so good.
It's a 6-star film going up against a couple of like 4.5-star films.
Like, there's a reason that you look at literally every review for Spider-Verse on Letterboxd, and so few people have actually written about it. They're all just like, It's a perfect movie. Shut up. Why are you in the review? Go watch Spider-Verse. It's a perfect movie. It's like, there's a point. There's a reason for it.
Right.
Like,
Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3, The Dragon Quest. Spider-Man 2 or Far From Home.
Spider-Man 2.
Far From Home gets my vote.
Yeah.
I really like Spider-Man 2, but I just like both Tom Holland's Peter Parker and Spider-Man more.
I tell you what, though.
Gets my vote.
I've got to go with Spider-Man 2. For me, Jake Gyllenhaal is what sells Far From Home. I find the rest of it is a bit too like Netflix rom-com-y territory.
This might explain why I love it so much, because I do love Netflix rom-coms.
The bad side of the
My Vanessa Hudgens Far From Home?
Doctor Strange says they're coming through, is he referring to all the Vanessa Hudgenses? Are they the extra villains?
Works for the film, and there's just too many like nothing characters in it that for me don't really work.
I tell you what, having those two options there together, I'm struggling to pick one. But I think I do edge Far From Home. I think it's a little bit. I just think it's a solid film. Mysterio is great.
Rump.
It's got better scenes for me. And Spider-Man 2 has a lot of flaws, so I'm going to go for Far From Home. Right, Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3?
2.
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3 or Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Oh. I think Spider-Man 3 falls to the bottom for me. I think Spider-Man 1, for its flaws of like where there's parts of the story I don't like, I still think at least it balances together well, and there's just so much stuff to love in it. Whereas Spider-Man 3, even the stuff there is for me to love, like, it's just fallen in with like stuff that's very hard to love and just like isn't mixed together right at all. It's just not balanced. So yeah, it's got a good Spider-Man 1 for me.
Sammy?
I think I'm going to agree.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's not much between them.
There's not much between them. And the bits that I like about 3, I think, are genuinely quite decent. But there's also a lot of stuff I dislike a lot more. I know I sort of said a lot. I spoke quite negatively about Spider-Man earlier. I don't hate this film. I'd probably rewatch it. But I'd probably be sat there cringing at half of it. Whereas with Spider-Man 3, I'd be cringing at like 3/4 of it. So I'm gonna have to go for Spider-Man.
And in Spider-Man 2, you'll be cringing at a quarter of it. That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah, that's the difference between these films.
Then Far From Home, you would go in boo.
I remember I enjoyed it when I watched it in the cinema, and it's just every time I've watched it since, I've gone, oh no.
So I'm gonna go for Spider-Man as well.
I'm also gonna go for Spider-Man.
Right, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man? I know I'm going to get out of
here. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I'm going to disagree with you guys. I don't rate a lot of the stuff that happens in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but it's just a personal thing there. Spider-Man, yeah, I know you two like Spider-Man 2 quite a lot, don't you? Amazing Spider-Man 2. Gonna win.
I think me and Mike are very avid defenders of Spider-Man 2.
Maybe I watched it because I was on like a high off watching Amazing Spider-Man, and it, like all the elements that I really liked about it just didn't hold up. Like, I don't like Peter and Gwen in it at all. I cannot stand that ad lib like on the spot.
I like it.
Ooh,
I think
we're
it
flirting.
Works. I think it worked because they were dating when they were making this, so like, it's all kind of, there's like a lot of genuine, sincere emotion in it. I can fully see why people might not like it, but for me, like, it just everything, a lot, most of it really works for me.
And also, the head slamming on the floor is a lot to put in a 12A film. That I like. Okay, if this was the boys' universe, her head would have been all over the floor.
Yeah,
but it's like, it's quite a horrible sight that. Spider-Man. I know that you two prefer Amazing Spider-Man. I'm happy to lose this vote. I think this might be one. Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, easily for me. Which is going to baffle a lot of people, because I know, as Mike was saying, a lot of people really hate Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I can't fathom hate for it, even if you don't gel with it. I can't fathom hate for
it.
I'm not offended by it.
This is why only do rankings, because you never know when some lunatic will come along with a sadistic choice. Let die the movie you love, or suffer the other one.
I'm gonna give it Spider-Man 2.
It's gonna probably lose us all three of our subscribers that we have left that still listen to this. No. But I'm also gonna go for Amazing Spider-Man 2. Oh, I'm gonna put it above. I just love it. I have such a blast every time I watch it. Yeah. And it's one of those like comfort movies where if I'm like in a mood, when I'm feeling upset, and I just want to stick something on that's easy, and I know, I just put on Amazing Spider-Man 2. I love it.
Yeah,
I think it's great. Yeah.
I've got butterflies in my stomach picking this. Amazing Spider-Man 2 wins. Then again, here's the thing with Spider-Man. Here's the thing with Spider-Man 2, though. Right, with all its flaws, it's a film I love. I don't care about its flaws in it. Whereas
Reese, I can completely say that about every single film we discussed today.
It's cruel. I'm not.
But Spider-Man 2 is a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
it's just.
This isn't.
I love Andrew Garfield.
This isn't hard for me because The Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. I love The Amazing Spider-Man. This is not a hard one for me.
Amazing Spider-Man.
I think it takes the first Spider-Man and makes it better.
These are, to me, probably the two most similar in quality films on this list in how much I enjoy them both. I think I will give it 2. Not that it matters because of what you both voted for, but I think I'll give it to The Amazing Spider-Man.
I voted
because
for Amazing
I really like Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Have you watched Tick, Tick, Boom yet?
Nope.
He's good. Didn't like the film.
Go ahead and tell me who else is in that, Reese.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Nice!
Who's also in the 2019 live version of Rent, which Tick, Tick, Boom is like, it's like the person who wrote Rent.
Is Tick, Tick, Boom a Netflix original?
I don't think so. I think it's on
Netflix. Oh, I was going to say, if it is, it must be their like most prestige Vanessa Hudgens Christmas Netflix musical.
It's not Christmas.
Nah, but it came out at Christmas.
And yeah. Hang on, it came out this week. It's not Christmas yet.
Yeah, but so did Princess Switch 3.
Oh, you have no idea how hard it's been for me this week to not just put it on. I'm desperate to watch it. Sorry, right, back to Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man wins it, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, Amazing Spider-Man or Far From Home?
Oh!
Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh,
I'm going for Amazing Spider-Man as well.
I'm going to go with Far From Home. I'm happy for Amazing Spider-Man to move on. Cool. I just like Far From Home more for all the reasons I discussed. I like the action. I like the villain.
Ooh,
but Amazing Spider-Man, I like the action.
I think this is even harder. I think Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh,
I'm genuinely Homecoming. Don't know.
I am also going to have to go Homecoming. Despite how
I really love.
I just love Homecoming. I think it's a perfect film.
Tom Holland films is that like they take the character I love with Spider-Man and they put him into the MCU that I already love and just have him fit in so well.
Yeah.
And like, can you remember how massive it was
when
they said Spider-Man was coming to the MCU?
No, the Civil War trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he just landed. Hey, guys. Like,
hey, everyone.
And just like from Civil War alone with like how good Tom Holland was in that. And like before that, there was just, it was unfathomable that Spider-Man would ever show up in the MCU. We thought it was like, this was just Sony not playing ball at all.
Yeah.
And maybe now that they're punishing us by saying, okay, you can have Spider-Man in the MCU, but we're doing the spump. Maybe it wasn't worth it, but Homecoming is great.
But here's the thing with Marvel, Disney and Spider-Man. Disney literally cannot afford to lose him. And Sony can't afford to not have him in the MCU as well. So he has to be in there purely for capitalist and financial reasons. he has to be in there because he has to be the money. They need that money, I think.
Yeah.
And so whatever agreement they ever come to. So you both went for Homecoming. Okay, I'm going to go for Amazing Spider-Man, but love that film.
Oh, how good is Andrew Garfield?
The list
I can't wait for him to definitely not be coming
back.
The list is out.
Okay, let's do... we're
done. Okay.
Worst to best.
One.
Yeah.
No, I'll put him in a random order.
Can we predict?
Oh, I just realised I'm wearing my... Pajama bottoms, the wrong way round. Anyway, I'm just looking for my pockets and they're on my ass.
Can we predict as we go? Because I'm pretty sure Spider-Man will be at the bottom.
I'll say this, I think it's exactly the same ranking that we came with initially.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
So, what do you think number 8 is?
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, hands down, is it?
Spider-Man 3.
Obviously. Number 7?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and here is... Where of those three viewers who said have left, if one maybe came back just to make sure they definitely
this is where they're
well
gone because it's Spider-Man 2 next,
Spider-Man
isn't
2.
It? So far, this is exactly my ranking as well.
All three Raimi films are at the bottom. Right. Okay, let's put it this way. Do you think that's a fair reflection on them, or are we just
I
think
They've got they are good films, but I think they have the weakest action of the set. And I think they've got the weakest Peter Parker of the set.
Yeah,
Even if they've got good villains, they've got good stories, they're just not as good.
And I think for me, a lot of why people hold them up so much, a lot of it is nostalgia. And people just letting go of the
100%.
Nostalgia.
And it's the same reason that I think a lot of people discount the Andrew Garfield films. Is I think a lot of people's criticisms of those seem to just be they couldn't accept not having Tobey Maguire anymore.
And you know... If anyone asks, why didn't you rank them higher? All you have to say is, I fail to see how that's my problem.
Pizza time.
Pizza time. Right, number 5. What do you think number 5 is?
Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think, will be there.
I think it will also be that.
Yeah, it is.
Which is weird, because here's the thing. I always like really rant about the movie. It's like, it's one of my favorite superhero Spider-Man movies. I love it. It's still number 4 out of 8 on my own ranking. So, like, I just really like these films.
Yeah. Yeah. What's number 4 then?
I think
it might be Far From Home.
Yeah, it is Far From Home.
Oh, good.
I was about to say it is Spider-Man, but they're all Spider-Man. Yeah, Far From Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Well done, Sammy. Although I don't think Sammy had much influence there, because...
Because you guys kept voting for it. Yeah. So it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my second on my personal ranking, so that position was entirely influenced by you, Rhys.
All right. Don't need to get personal about
I'm gonna assume
I failed to see how that's my problem.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that Amazing Spider-Man is next.
Yeah.
And Homecoming
and then Homecoming.
Yeah.
And then actually we said it all along, didn't we? It's just not fair. Like, no franchise should have a film as good as Spider-Verse because it just discounts them.
Yeah. You know, I remember, like, I after seeing Infinity War, I remember thinking, like, for like 10 years, I said this in the MCU video, in the MCU podcast, is that for 10 years, or 8 years, whatever, ever since I saw the first Avengers film, I was like, right, the one thing I can't do is die before Endgame comes out, because that would be a failure in life. Imagine, like, not being able to see it. Like, make sure at least I survive so I can see these things. But then I saw Into the Spider-Verse before Endgame. I was like, well, my life is complete now. I don't really care what happens in Endgame anymore.
What the hell is Spider-Verse 2 going to be? Like...
Into the Spider-Verse 2? I think it will be... There'll be a cross-dimensional problem where time is collapsing in some sort of way. So Oscar Isaac has to go and get them. However, I think Oscar Isaac is going to be the twist villain and is doing some bad shenanigans. That's my guess.
But what I meant wasn't what's it going to be about? It's how are they going to make it as good? Like,
well, hopefully they'll just repeat the same process. Not the same...
No.
Not repeat what they did, but like go through the same measures, put in the same amount of hours of dedication to the craft.
No. They have to visit the other worlds. They have to...
Yeah.
They have
to not be Miles' world.
And they have to make sure that each of the worlds doesn't just look like the Miles Morales world. They have to make sure... that they are distinct worlds in their own regard.
Yeah.
And
they have to do what, like, because all the Spider-Man have their own animation style. They just have to swap it over. And more Spider-Man as well.
Yeah. And more Spider-Man.
Japanese Spider-Man. Bring him in. Super Spider-Man.
Do you think
he saved the Spider-Verse in the comic? He was like the hero of the hour. Put him in the film.
Yeah. Put him live action as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe like a quick shot. Like, do you know in Weird Mageddon, Sammy?
Yeah.
Where you get that shot where they're both just live action
for
a few seconds? Put a shot like that in Spider-Verse 2. I wouldn't complain.
I just think the creators just have to trust themselves and that they know what they're doing. And like they've done it once. Whatever ideas you have, just go for it. Because the worst thing that it can be is unadventurous. The worst thing, it could be just... If it's just bog standard, that's not good enough.
Thing you know, is, I think, enough. At worst, this film will still be very good, just not as good as the last one. I still think it will be...
Imagine if it's
decent.
Awful. Imagine if no. it just no. sucks. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
No.
What if it's just Venom 3 in disguise?
Oh, Reese, how dare you?
Into the Morbius verse. Into the Morbius verse.
Well, let's not forget, we're getting Lethal Protectors, which is going to be the Spump team-up movie. So,
yeah.
At some point, we're getting a team-up movie of Kraven, Morbius, and Venom.
We're getting Spider-Woman as well, aren't we?
I think they're doing a Spider-Verse spin-off that is a female Spider-Man team. So Spider-Girl or Spider-Woman, I can't remember what they called Spider-Gwen in it. I assume that Penny Parker will be there.
Poor.
Jessica Drew has to show up at some point.
Yeah. Like... And Jessica Jones.
Jones isn't a Spider-Woman.
Yeah, but she was involved with Spider-Man. Yeah.
Well, if they put Jessica Jones in one of the Spider-Verse films, there's only one person I want voicing her.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to end this with this question for you two, I think. And we got a wrap up. Is there anything in Spider-Man that you haven't seen so far that needs to happen? Is there something that maybe from looking at the cartoons or the comics, something that would make whatever comes out next or in the future maybe just that little bit more special as well?
I think, and this is not seeing the trailer, Sinister Six would be quite cool in live action. I think the game, the PS4 game, did a really cool version of it. And I get that video games have like longer to tell their story and stuff. But I think in a cinematic universe where like you have each film is essentially a chapter, I'd like to see that at some point. Not necessarily for the MCU, but also if Andrew Garfield, who definitely isn't in No Way Home, is received positively, I'd love for Sony to go, you know what, we're going to finish the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy. I think that would
trilogy.
Be...
five of them.
Yeah. No, the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah, there was supposed to be five of them.
Oh,
yeah.
I would like them to... Perhaps, even if it's just giving one film to, like, so he has a bit of closure on the role, I think I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I have three hopes that I would like for future Spider-Man films. Two of which we definitely won't get, one of which we're definitely not getting. I would like a live-action Spider-Verse film, please, with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire showing up to help Tom Holland, which we're definitely not getting. They're definitely not in it.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield definitely hasn't signed a hefty NDA and is now having the worst 3 months of his life.
Or the best, depending on how much he's,
or the best,
he's enjoying. He's actually taken up the role of Andrew Garfield pretending not to be in Spider-Man. It's a really daunting role.
Incredible. It's incredible. Thank God he's an actor, because...
Can you imagine if you were in this film? Like, he just tell like, people immediately.
Like, everyone's saying to me, like, are you in Spider-Man? Helmet? But,
Mike, did you punch Lizard in the Brazil trailer?
No, it was me! the other hope I would like, and we definitely will get this, because it's too hard to do in film, I think. So if you want a good version of the exact thing I'm about to propose, watch Spectacular Spider-Man, because they nail it, is I want a full black suit leading into Venom arc, but I don't want it to be squashed into one movie. I want one movie of Peter gets the black suit, we meet Eddie Brock, or we meet Eddie Brock in a film, then the next...
We've already met Eddie Brock in
Peter
a film.
Peter gets... No, quiet. We're getting rid of that. Peter gets the black suit next film, and at the same time, he's becoming more and more dark and evil, and is disgracing Eddie Brock. And then that film ends with Peter going too dark to beat the villain in that film. So he realizes he needs to get rid of the suit. So we end with him ditching the black suit. Post-credit scene, suit gets onto Venom. Then the next film, a proper Venom, Eddie Brock and Venom becoming Venom to take out Spider-Man because they both hate him. I want that proper arc to play out properly in some films. as I said, they did a great version of it in Spectacular Spider-Man, and we won't get it now because they've ruined Venom literally forever. But I would love to see that. And my third hope, and this is one that we definitely won't get, but if we did, it would just make my life, like, I would become the biggest, I'm already like a huge Spider-Man fan, but I would become the biggest Spider-Man fan in the world, is if they were to cancel the Spump.
yeah. Well, let's see how this film goes. They might be forced to.
There are more Spunk films officially than there were Amazing Spider-Man films, because we're about to get our third.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I've got two hopes for Spider-Man. I want to see adult Spider-Man done right in the film. I like grown up, where he's got the job and he's working for the
Bugle.
What are they called? The photo.
The Bugle.
Daily Bugle.
The Daily Bugle.
Yeah,
and he's doing.
And then you bring Miles in, like you have adult Tom Holland when he still looks 15.
Well, maybe. But no, like I want. This is the thing. You say that I want them to wrap up the Amazing Spider-Man. Well, maybe they can do something different, or maybe they can update it, like to make him so he is older and he is.
Well, I was thinking about this actually earlier, where they just put out a thing saying, "Look, the bit where he becomes Spider-Man at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2, discount that." But we'll keep in the rest of the film. And then you just have like maybe like a 10-year gap where there's no Spider-Man. And he has to like come out of retirement for like, you know, the next threat or whatever.
No, because that's clearly not what they were planning for. Like,
well, no, but I was just thinking that's a way, because it's been so long now since those films. That's, you know, that's a way you could pick up that story.
When Andrew Garfield definitely doesn't show up in No Way Home, it's finally going to disprove what has been canon all this time. Because what's been canon with those Amazing Spider-Man films is that he was out of practice being Spider-Man, so he went to fight Rhino, and he just died. That's the canon, because that's why they ended, and we didn't get any more. He just died. So like maybe we're definitely not getting back.
You're telling me that Paul Giamatti killed
I'm the Rhino!
Thing I really want, and maybe this is controversial, and all depends on what Tom Holland wants to do. If they're going to get rid of Tom Holland, well, I really like the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, Death of Spider-Man. I think it's a really good story, and it is overbloated and it is full of characters. Yes, but you know, I think if you're going to get rid of Spider-Man, kill him off properly and make it tragic. The whole part, you can go two ways with Spider-Man. Either have him grow into the hero. Or the point is, he's really young when he's doing this, and he's just a kid. And so when he does die, it's really horrible. And I do like the Ultimate Comics Death of Spider-Man, where, he gets shot by the Punisher, and then he has to fight off all the villains. He takes the bullet for Captain America, doesn't he? And then he goes home injured, and he has to fight off basically the Sinister Six, who beat him to death, essentially. Or I think the Goblin kills him in the end. Really good comic. Yeah. I really like it.
And then gave us Miles. So
yeah, exactly. So that's what I say. Either commit to make him old, or commit to killing him off. Because I think people will cry. It'll be worse than Endgame when he dies.
I have another thing that I think I'd like, which they're, to be fair, Spider-Man films so far have done fantastically. I'd like them to keep doing original takes on characters, rather than just keep rehashing the same, you know, three or four characters, which is a very problem I have with a lot of Batman films.
Yeah, Spider-Man films don't have the problem.
No, but I'd like them to,
because Batman films are always very much like, hey, hey, Joker, hey, hey, Catwoman, hey, Penguin,
Riddler.
Like, but I think Spider-Man films are really good at that, because we got Green Goblin. Yeah, we've had so many Goblin,
Tombstone,
Doctor.
To be fair, we've had Goblin,
Green Goblin
twice,
Sandman,
but like.
Sort of had Goblin three times.
Yeah.
One of them was like a satisfying like continuation.
But like they've done really well, and I'd like to, because as with Batman, Spider-Man has quite a wide rogues gallery. I'd like to see more of them, you know? And you could pick up any of them and do something really cool interesting. If you can make Vulture your main film and one of
the
your
wall.
Cinemas. Your cinematic universe's best villains, like you can do that with any of them. So keep on doing what you're doing.
My other Spider-Man hope is that Insomniac never stopped, because that game rules.
Cool. Should we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
So,
that was 8 Spider-Man films, ranked. Raimi at the bottom, everything else at the top.
So, yeah, that, honestly,
if you've abandoned
fair.
Us, that's fine.
During this nearly 2-hour recording.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, welcome friends, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.